folks, welcome back to the program. Although it's been too long, Christopher Mitchell, who's the director of Telecommunications as Commons Initiative at the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. Good evening, Mr. Mitchell. Christopher.
Yes.
Our friend, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. It's nice to have you back in the program. It's been too long.
Yes, I enjoyed talking to you last time and look forward to this one.
Yeah, let's... Oh, okay, first of all, start out with Institute for Local Self-Reliance. Tell us about the group.
Sure. We're a nonprofit. We encourage communities to be self-reliant, which is not self-sufficient, meaning they need to take full advantage of everything they have locally and be able to take full advantage of their resources. And so we look at how a community can do that. And in particular, we look at sort of rules, which would be laws or statutes, that either encourage or discourage a community to be able to do that.
Okay. And you cover all kinds of topics.
That's right, although I only know stuff about telecommunications.
Okay. Well, we won't ask you about anything else then. You are the director of the Telecommunications as Commons Initiative. Tell us about what Monticello was trying to do with your assistance.
Right. Well, I actually wasn't assisting them. I've come in more lately as an observer and try to offer some, media assistance in some regards in terms of making sure that they have someone or that I can speak out more or less to make sure that people in the press and radio hosts such as yourself can learn what's going on. What they wanted to do was to build a fiber network that means these fiber optic cables that have been around for a long time but have only now become economical to sort of put all over a city. And to make sure that they would have fast broadband, internet access to all their homes and businesses, and they would also be offering television and phone service on those lines.
Okay, and so they came together as a community. Did they vote on this?
They did. Part of the process was a referendum, and 74% of the people came out, voted yes.
How does this benefit the community more than, say, just having it the normal way that we go to our individual providers, whether it be Quest for your phone, Comcast, the companies?
Right. There's a number of ways. One is that if you're dealing with companies like that, some people are unhappy with their customer service experiences, and so by having a local service, they have much more control over the customer service angle. You're going to talk to someone local. You're going to talk to someone without having to go through a bunch of prompts on the voicemail system. You're also going to have a better chance of making sure that system is customized for your needs and your business's needs. You can imagine a private citizen having a problem, wanting to see the network do something different, and in a community like Monticello, one wonders if a national cable company is going to be more responsive or if the mayor or city council will be more responsive. I'm going to go with the mayor or the city council.
Well, you got to vote there.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's exactly it.
So the people in Monticello came together by 70, nearly three quarters. They've decided they want to do this. What's the hang up? Are they getting it done, or is it where does it stand right now?
Well, they were just securing the financing. They were in the last day of doing that, basically. And the phone company there, TDS, out of Madison, they filed suit saying that Minnesota laws don't give the city the authority to build this. And I can imagine many of your listeners wondering, well, this seems kind of like private enterprise anyway. But the Minnesota statute actually are pretty clear that cities can build telephone systems, and they can also build cable television systems. Both of which were very important in the early days of the systems when private companies didn't want to build out to rural areas because they didn't think they would make enough money.
Okay. Now, TDS is related to this how, though? They're the local phone company there, but are they seeing an increase in competition because of this?
Well, they will be seeing an increase in competition, and one can imagine that they wouldn't appreciate that. They like having a monopoly or a duopoly.
So is it fair to say that this company, despite their best efforts to try to appear to be looking out for the taxpayers or looking out to make sure that we're following Minnesota law, that it might be that this litigation is motivated more by the prospect of more competition?
I think so.
Okay.
And I think that's a really important point, because this is always couched in terms of, you got to watch out for the taxpayer. But Monticello has been very clear, and they've chosen a financing method, which means that the taxpayers' rates will not go up. This system will not raise taxes in Monticello, and they've been emphatic about that.
And they, by 75%, they said they want to do it.
That's right.
Wow.
And the other thing that I would say is that one of the reasons I've called this frivolous in a press release, and I stand by that, because when I read the complaint and some of the legal papers, it really doesn't seem like TDS is trying to win. They have to prove more or less that this is not a utility. And the way they do that is they say it's not a utility. And it's kind of hard to understand how a public telephone system, a cable system, how these aren't utilities. And when the Minnesota legislature has defined utilities, which it did in 2002, it specifically included telecommunications and cable television and related services. And so when I look at that, it looks to me like TDS is merely trying to delay the city's entrance into the system so they can benefit.
Mm-hmm. Well, it wouldn't be the first time that these tactics have been used. I assume that you probably see this quite a bit at the Institute for Local Self-Reliance.
Oh, yes. And I was recently talking to a community that was more on the beginning path of this, and they were saying things that they were trying to do that would minimize their risk of lawsuits. And I said, you realize that you will be sued? And they said, yes, we realize that no matter what we do, we will probably be sued. And so I think it's pretty common, communities, and they're realizing now that the lawsuit is part of the process of building your own network.
They want to drive up litigation costs and try to make it unattainable. The frustration grows and the costs grow, and pretty soon they give up and they say, all right, TDS, we'll just go with you. And it's despicable.
Absolutely. And the funny thing is, I mean, funny in a sick way, is if you stand back and you watch these, in a couple of years, what they will probably do is they will say, look, Monticello did terribly at this. You know, they raised all this money in 2008, and then they didn't even get the system started for another year and a half. And they'll just leave out the fact that they've sued them and they've prevented them from moving forward. And in many cases, we've seen cities have to change their entire business plan because of lawsuits. And then some try to present that as being a reason why cities aren't competent in doing this, and that's just frankly absurd. Many of the cities that have done this have done very well, and their communities always see benefits from it.
Hey, Chris, where can our listeners learn more about this case, but also if they're living in a community where they want to start approaching their city councilmen, commissioners, to propose these things, where can they get more information?
We have a website. It's newrules.org. And if you click on a little link that's information, that's my sector.
Mm-hmm.
We should call telecommunications, and who knows, maybe we'll start. But for right now, that's the place to go.
Okay. Well, we will encourage people to go. It's a great website. Honestly, we could have 100 shows totally full of the information that here. I mean, everything from climate change to light pollution. Some of those issues that maybe aren't on the front page, but like light pollution,
right,
and noise pollution, and then billboard blight, billboard bans. Hawaii doesn't ban or bans billboards. You know how ugly it is when you drive up 94 to see all those billboards up there. So
we have a great collection of model legislation for communities on a wide range of issues.
Yeah, groundwater protection, energy code, ethanol and biodiesel production, it's all there at newrules.org. But especially check out your sector again is
information
That's sector.
Right.
Great place to go. Chris Mitchell, thanks so much for coming on the program. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, that's Chris Mitchell, Director, Telecommunications Common Initiative at the Institute for Local Self-Reliance.